Well, good morning, Bridge City Church. How you doing this morning? So excited to be with you this morning. It's a special day. I don't know if you knew this or not, because I doubt this popped up in your Google calendar, but today is a very special birthday. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which means today is the birthday of Jesus' church. Oh, come on. You know, here at Bridge City Church, we've been around for almost 43 years, and that's a big deal. But Jesus' church has been around for almost 2,000 years, and it's not just a local entity, it is a global entity, an organism of people who have been pulled out of darkness into Jesus's marvelous light. And so this morning I'm excited to preach in our What Do I Believe sermon series. We're going to be talking about what do I believe about Pentecost, or better yet, what do I believe about the Holy Spirit? Because the thing that made Pentecost Pentecost was that this was the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus 50 days after his resurrection. So that's where we get the name Pentecost, Penta 50. It's a Greek name that highlights a Hebrew festival. And so there's so many things that you kind of have to unpack with this whole idea of Pentecost Sunday. And maybe you've heard the phrase Pentecostal. And, you know, a lot of times when people hear that word, the first thing that comes to mind is weird. Right? If you've ever met a Pentecostal person, they're a little bit weird. And I'm a Pentecostal person, so that explains me. But nevertheless, this idea of Pentecost is one of these things that if we don't have a good understanding and a belief system based around the Holy Spirit, why he came, what he's up to, who he is, if we don't have an understanding of that, what I've seen is that it produces two equally negative outcomes for people. The first negative outcome is this, right? A poor understanding of the Holy Spirit allows people, like I said, to find an excuse for their weirdness. Are you with me this morning? See, a lot of times when the Holy Spirit is active and operating, things can get strange. And I want to encourage you, that's okay, because when God himself inhabits finite, flawed human beings, things can get weird. But even more than that, the Holy Spirit is what the Bible says. He is a down payment of heaven in the lives of those who have received Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their past and the leader to their future. And so heaven is a lot different than earth. And if you're somebody that said, man, I would just love to see heaven come on earth, you might want to read your Bible. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray that, but you have to understand when the Bible describes heaven, you know some of the things that it describes? Wheels inside of wheels covered with eyeballs. That's weird. Or four-headed creatures with wings. Weird. Right? Four-headed creature with wings walks down one of these aisles. You're going to be weirded out. Very few of you will be excited. Children will scream. Pandemonium will ensue. But this is what is in heaven, because heaven is different than here. But nevertheless, we can't allow the Holy Spirit to just be someone that co-signs us being weird. The other negative outcome is this, and it's the other side of the spectrum. Because of the weirdness that a lot of people have seen from people who believe in what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about it here in a minute, but because of the weirdness, there will be people that say, I don't want any part of that. And so they discount, deny, or otherwise reject the third person of the Godhead and how he wants to operate and move in our lives. And so you can see where the two of those are very negative outcomes, because on one hand, the weirdness chases people away. But on the other hand, The weirdness allows people who know Jesus to never tap into the fullness that God has for their lives. And I don't know if you're here today and you are like me and you feel like, I know there's more. I've got a little bit more. There's something more that God has for me. There's something that I read in the Bible that I don't see happening in my life. And I want to see what the Bible says happening in my life. Are you with me this morning? Because here's another description of heaven that you see in Revelation. Revelation says that there is no sickness in heaven. See, that got an amen. Four-headed creatures, no amens. There is no disease. There's no death. The Bible even says there is no tears. Why? Because heaven is the place where the full expression, the fullness of the Godhead is manifested. And it's kind of hard to be sad when you see joy himself in front of you. And so we have to talk about the Holy Spirit and understand what we believe about the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing, like I said, Pentecost Sunday is the birthday of Jesus' church. Because the church was birthed in the worshiping, ministering power of the Holy Spirit. This is our DNA. This is who we are. And maybe you're here today and you're new to Christianity altogether. I want you to lean in a little bit and hear what the Bible has to say about Holy Spirit. Or maybe you're here today and you're one of those people that loves the Holy Spirit, but you can get a little bit freaky deaky. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, because here's one of the things that we're going to see today. The Holy Spirit's reason for coming was to bring in the harvest of souls. Because the Feast of Pentecost in Jewish teaching in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is actually called the Feast of the Harvest or the Feast of First Fruits. Because this was at the time of year where your harvest would come in, and then every Jewish male, no matter where you lived in the world, had to appear before God in the temple in Jerusalem, bringing a first fruits offering, the best and first percentage of what God blessed you with in your harvest. And so God intimately ties the Holy Spirit into that. He is the first fruits. He's the down payment. He's the first fruits of our heavenly inheritance. And you can find this all through the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, right? That's a big one. Verses 20 through 22. You can write it down, check it out later. He's the down payment. 2 Corinthians 5. He's the down payment of heaven. And this is good. But he doesn't come just so that we can wiggle and jiggle and shake and get weird. He comes so that we can bring in the harvest that Jesus died for. He empowers us to bring in souls who are far from God by sharing Jesus with them in power, in Jesus's power. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what Jesus did when he walked the earth. And so it's important for us to know who he is and why he came. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses here in Acts 1, and then we're going to move right on over to Acts 2 to really discuss Pentecost here. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Once when he," Jesus, so this is Jesus, I want you to get the picture here. 40 days before this moment, Jesus rose from the dead. So this is 40 days after Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And if you do your math in your head, you can get to where we're coming from. So once when Jesus was eating with them, the them here is his disciples. Now, we don't know exactly how many disciples are there. We know for sure that the 11 are there. Remember, it was 12. One betrayed Jesus and took his own life. And so now there's 11. So we at least know the 11 are there. But chances are there are more, because during the 40 days from his resurrection until now, 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus started revealing himself to people. People like his earthly brother James. We know in Luke 24, he visits these two guys walking on the road to Emmaus. We talked about that on Easter Sunday. 1 Corinthians actually says at one time, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared to 500 people at the same time. So I want you to catch a frame of reference here. That's roughly about four times the amount of people in this room right now, all at one time. And I don't know if you've ever been on trial like I have been on trial, but if you can get 500 witnesses who can say they saw you do the same thing, you're dead to rights. So there was at least, bare minimum, 500 people who saw the resurrected Jesus, believed on him, and were saved. So they're followers of Jesus. And so whether it's the 11 or a full 500, we don't know, but we know Jesus was eating with them. Now, just a side note, if it was the 500, I hope they had a good catering service. But then again, Jesus doesn't really need a catering service because he can feed 5,000 men plus women and children with five loaves and two fish, but I digest. And so while he was eating with them, he commanded them. I want you to hear this. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. We live in a day and age where we like to make most of the Bible suggestions at best. This is a command that Jesus is about to give them here. And he says this, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. So what they're going to receive is something that God the Father has promised. And Jesus has already talked to them about this in some way, shape, or form. Verse 5, John, he's talking about John the Baptist. John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a fascinating thing because if you rewind back to when John the Baptist was doing his deal in the Gospels, John the Baptist would tell people, I'm not the Messiah, that's the Messiah. And he'd point to Jesus and he'd say, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so we see that Jesus is the one. God the Son baptizes people who follow him in God the Holy Spirit. Are you checking with me so far this morning? Say amen. All right. Hop on down to verse 8. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, the reason why Jesus is saying that is because in between there, his disciples are like, okay, is this the time when you're going to wreck shop on the Romans and give us our rewards? Jesus is like, look, you're not getting it. It's not about an earthly kingdom, guy. It's about a heavenly kingdom coming on earth. And it's not for you to know the days or the hours or the times, Jesus said. So all of the people on YouTube that tell you that they know when Jesus is coming back are liars and you should never listen to them. They are a lot, because Jesus says, I don't even know. How can God not know? He knows everything. That's for another day, but this is what Jesus says. But Jesus brings it back to the main thing that he's trying to communicate. Look, it's not about you guys getting what you want. It's about getting what you need. And what you need is power, because as a follower of Jesus, you have a mission. This is why it starts with a command. The commanding officer has given us a mission, and we need Holy Spirit power to fulfill the mission. The mission, and it's not there on the screen, but Jesus, he says, is to be witnesses, testifying to who Jesus is in your life, testifying to what he did. That's why I love that second song. It's a new song. Some of you might not have heard it before, but it talked about the devil thought he had me, but Jesus says that I am his. Or Jesus says you are mine. Right? That's a testimony. That's a witness that you can tell people, especially people that you see that the devil is kicking their teeth in. You can go and say, "Look, I used to be there too." And the devil thought he had me, but Jesus said, I belong to him. And so we have this obligation to be witnesses, and the only way that we can truly be witnesses is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we talked about last week, when we were talking about how Gen X was the generation that had the most resources thrown at it in the church world, and they've now become the most unchurched and de-churched group on the planet, we learned something. Pizza parties and video games and smoke machines and lights, although they're nice and I love them, they cannot do the job that the Holy Spirit can do. And so you cannot do this with any earthly thing. You need the Holy Spirit's power in your life to fulfill the mission that Jesus saved you for. See, because a lot of times we like to think of the things we've been saved from. But Jesus saved us from them because he saved us for something. And that's to be his witnesses in the earth. And let's just be honest, if you're truly a follower of Jesus, don't you want other people to experience the goodness that you've experienced? Don't you want other people to be free of drugs if that's what Jesus saved you from? Free from adultery, free from sexual immorality, free from trauma and pain that comes from heartache and hardships in your life. Don't you want people to experience that? Then you need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we turn to the book of Acts, where it talks about Pentecost Sunday, which is 10 days after the moment we just read, we have to understand that what we're going to see here is a framework to help us to process what Holy Spirit's up to. And so what we're going to see here in the book of Acts chapter 2 is an experience, evidence, an explanation, and empowerment. So turn on over to Acts chapter 2, and we'll start right there in verse number 1. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers, so we don't know how many there were when Jesus spoke to them 10 days earlier in Acts 1. Was it 11? Was it 500? But as we're going to see here in a minute, we're going to find out how many there were at this point in time. All of the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roar of a mighty windstorm. Remember, I told you when heaven invades the earth, things start getting a little bit crazy. And so even though the Holy Spirit doesn't give us a license to be weird, we have to understand that weird stuff is going to happen when heaven invades earth. And it should. And let's be honest, look, I used to run the streets, be on all kind of drugs, do all kind of crazy stuff. I've done crazier things under the influence of lesser spirits. And anybody that's ever spent any measured time in the wine and spirit store, you have too. So if the Holy Spirit gets a little bit weird for you, it's okay. Because it's unlike these other things, it's holy. It's a holy move that's happening. And so we see this roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. So they were all in this big upper room of what would appear to be a large home. Verse 3, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. Now I've seen hundreds of pictures trying to depict this, and I still don't think any one of them really gets it, because I still don't know what a tongue of fire looks like. But again, heaven is going to show us things that our earthly minds can't comprehend. Asterisk, footnote, see four-headed winged creatures. So we do our best, but nevertheless, these flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. And so we see first, this is the experience. When the Holy Spirit gets involved, you will experience something. I remember back in the day when they first put the Raging Rapids in at the Kennywood Amusement Park. And you're waiting in line, hot to death, sweating, hoping, praying that the person who's in front of you, whose body odor would only be tripled by the activation of water in a raft that has washed over every other person that has been body odored up in that line at Kennywood. You're hoping to God that they're in a different raft than you. Am I the only person that would try to get at least three other people so we could get our own raft? Mm-hmm. And you'd look at the person and say, sorry, there's just not enough room in here for you. But when you were waiting in line, you would hear this loudspeaker telling you, keep your hands inside the raft. Don't try to swim. But my favorite one is, you will get wet on this ride. And then if the waterfall missed you, you was upset. The only thing that got wet was your new Kennywood shoes. Come on. I'm not the only one, I know. But there's an experience that happens when we come to God. And just like the raging rapids, it's an outpouring, it's an overflowing that may make you messier than you were before you experienced it. And here we see that the experience of the Holy Spirit comes and begins to manifest in all of these crazy ways. Mighty windstorm, tongues of fire from heaven, right? I'd have been there like trying to pat it out because I don't want to get hurt, right? But then speaking in other tongues. And you're like, what is going on here? This is the experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand this. This is not the only experience, because actually we don't have another biblical example of mighty windstorm, flames of fire landing on people's heads. See, because God doesn't limit himself to how he operates, but he always operates within a framework. And so whether it's tongues of fire, mighty windstorm, or tongues, there will be a supernatural experience that happens in your life when you fully engage the Holy Spirit. It just happens. It might be laughing because you're just so full of joy and you don't know. And as we're going to see here in a minute, this was such that people thought they were drunk. It might be weeping because you're so overwhelmed by his holiness and you're just, or you're just so overwhelmed by peace, or you're so overwhelmed by the fact that even though you're a sinner, the Holy Spirit came and said, I want to live inside of you. I want to use you to be my witness. But nevertheless, there's an experience. There is a supernatural experience that happens when Holy Spirit gets involved. Picking up the story in verse 5. They were completely amazed. I'd say so. Right? Tongues of fire started landing on people's foreheads in this room. Y'all gonna be amazed. And if you weren't, shame on you. You've been watching too much YouTube. Oh, I've seen that before. That's just really bad CGI. But they were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee. Now, so look, the text didn't tell us, but we're seeing, watch, this is an important thing. This isn't the disciples talking, it's people outside of the room that the disciples are in. It's people that are on the outside who are seeing something supernatural and amazing happening on the inside that's causing them to ask questions. They said, these people are all from Galilee, which is a region. It's an area that has its own dialect. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Because there was people from all different countries, Jews that lived in all different countries who spoke different languages. And they're like, how is this happening? Verse 12, they stood there amazed and perplexed. And then they asked, what can this mean? And so after there's an experience, we see evidence. There's an evidence of the Holy Spirit. And this is where a lot of people get sidetracked. I was a part of a denomination. They don't call themselves a denomination. They're a voluntary cooperative fellowship, but they're a denomination called the Assemblies of God. And in their doctrinal statement, what they believe is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is evidenced by speaking in tongues. And this is where a lot of people get hung up. This is where a lot of people get hung up because that's a Pentecostal understanding. There's also something called charismatic, which is very similar, but they deviate there. We are a charismatic church. And the word charismatic isn't because we got the riz, okay? It's because the word here in the Bible for spiritual gift is charis, grace, mata, gift. So we get charismatic from this phrase. And so charismatic believes that God still operates this way today. And I just want to take a moment and say this. You cannot biblically say that God stopped operating by his Spirit this way. You cannot. And I'd love to have a discussion with anybody that thinks that you can. You cannot use the Bible to say that God, at some point in time, whether it was after the Bible was finished or after the first 100 years of the church, you cannot offer a biblical explanation that God no longer operates by his Spirit through tongues, prophecy, healing, apostleship, evangelism, all of these grace gifts. You just can't. And I'm not trying to beat people up. You can't. And even the really amazing theologians and scholars that are a lot smarter than me that espouse that view, they can't. I can show you that God is still using this, and I'd love to do it, but this isn't the time. But we see that the evidence of the Holy Spirit, it's not about speaking in tongues or doing weird stuff. Here's the true evidence of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? The true evidence of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence and activity is an impact on the world around you. Did you catch what I said there? There was something happening on the inside of these believers and in the inside of the room that these 120 believers were in. And I don't know what happened to the other 380, but there was only 120 there. But see, when the Holy Spirit begins to start operating in power, it's not so we can speak in tongues and wiggle and jiggle and get goosebumps and glory stories and be inwardly focused, talking and prophesying to each other. It's supposed to have an effect on the world around us. He is the way that God makes outsiders insiders. And as insiders, we have a responsibility to go and take Holy Spirit outside. That's why we do the Pittsburgh mission trip. That's why. Because we're not going out and just speaking in tongues over the neighborhood. You know, a really powerful spiritual move that can help people see the manifest presence of Jesus in their life? Mowing someone's yard that's unable to mow it for themselves and saying, God loves you. Delivering a box of food to somebody who can't afford to feed themselves, let alone their family. And they're sitting in their house wondering how they're going to get food. And you and I knock on the door and say, we're here to pray for you, and is there anything else you need? Here's a box of food. That is spiritual power, folks. It has an effect on the world around us. And I love to get Holy Ghost, wiggle, jiggle, speak in tongues, shout and howl at the moon. But if it doesn't have an effect on the world around us, it is not only a waste of God's presence and power, it is useless, because 1 Corinthians 13 says that if I speak in the tongues of angels and men but have not love, I am nothing. And so this evidence has to affect the world around us. That's how you know when Holy Spirit is really moving somewhere, when it has an outward effect. Because here's a fact. I'll just be real honest. A lot of the churches that don't believe that the Holy Spirit still works this way, they're not making an impact. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying the evidence, the proof's in the pudding. And that's why we will always be a church that measures our impact on the world around us, not by how many people speak in tongues, not by how many people can prophesy, not by how many people can preach or teach, but how we impact the world around us. And that's why right now we literally have a team of people who just left Honduras. They should have been back today, but they were trapped in Honduras because they set their lives aside for a week and raised funds of their own accord so they could go to a place that needed help and bring Jesus to that place. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of, because that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Because here's another fact. A lot of the churches that like to wiggle and jiggle and speak in tongues all the time, they ain't doing a whole lot either. Because if it's just about that, 1 Corinthians 13 says we've missed it. And I don't want to miss it. I want to be in on what God is doing. There's 7 C's I'd like to share with you to help you understand how the Holy Spirit operates. And these are straight from the mouth of Jesus himself. These are not a doctrinal statement, it's a Jesus statement. The Holy Spirit comes to comfort, to counsel, right? How many of you could use some counsel? I don't mean counseling like a therapist, because he can do that, but I mean like, should I take this job? Should I marry this person or break the relationship off? Should I buy this thing or give to the One Vision campaign? That's counsel. The Holy Spirit brings comfort. He brings counsel. He brings confirmation of the words of Jesus, right? You're just like, oh, wow. He brings the word of God to remembrance in our life. He brings courage and boldness. See, here's why I like praying in tongues, because I pray in tongues. I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues. Because you know what? I really struggle going out and engaging people out in the world. And so for Pittsburgh Mission Trip, man, I pray in tongues so much, just so, because 1 Corinthians 14 says, I build up my inner man, my spiritual man, by praying in this heavenly language that God gave me. He doesn't give it to everybody. See, that's another place where the assemblies of God missed it. They think everybody should get it, but Paul himself says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, do all speak in tongues? But he may give you a prophetic gift or a healing gift, because there's gifts, plural, of healings, plural. He can give all kind of gifts, and all we got to do is ask. But he gives us courage and boldness. He's close beside. One of the Greek terms that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit is the parakletos, the come alongsider. How many of you ever feel lonely, or you struggle with loneliness, or wonder if anybody cares? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's there. Conviction of sin and judgment. Because I'm not that bright. I might think I'm doing good, and the Holy Spirit says, no. No, that's not it. That ain't it, fam. He speaks to me in ways I understand. And last but not least, captive set free. And this is really where you need those power gifts to come into. And that's why Victory and Freedom, if you have not been, get there, sign up. It's a Friday evening and an all-day Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. so that you can experience the Holy Spirit's power in helping you get freedom from mindsets, from bondages, from trauma. But also you can get equipped so you can share that with people in the outside world who need it. See, we have got to stop being selfish Christians who just want Holy Spirit for us. As I said, Holy Spirit comes so that he can make an impact on the outside world through us. Are you with me this morning? So we see these seven C's. And then we move on here in Acts 2 to the explanation, because this is something, we need an explanation on this. Some of you might be like, this is a little bit too heady for me right now. I hope it's blessing you, because we need to have an explanation on who Holy Spirit is and what he does. And Peter gives it. Look at what he does here in verse 13 of Acts chapter 2. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, so there were people that are like, wow, this is amazing. But then there were other people that started ridiculing, and guess what? You're going to have that everywhere. There are going to be people that see God operating in your life and like, wow, this is amazing. How do I connect to this? And there are going to be people that are like, you look stupid. I'm going to risk looking stupid in order to risk being helpful. They're drunk, that's all. See, and this is where a lot of people, they think the Bible co-signs goofiness. Notice one of the C's wasn't kooky, which is probably a K, but I digress. They're drunk. Actually, Ephesians 5 says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled in the Spirit. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is too early for that. For some of you, that's a word. I know it would have been for me 25 years ago. No, what you see was predicted, watch this, long ago by the prophet Joel. So Peter doesn't just come up and give some spiritual explanation. Peter goes to the Bible, to explain this strange thing that's happening. And he quotes from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And this is what it says. It says, in the last days. So again, all those end times prophets, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. Just want to let you know. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people, not just the holy people, not just the good people, not just the people that prayed an hour and fast 3 days a week. All people who come to Jesus have access to the Holy Spirit being poured out on them. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. So not only is he talking about supernatural things that people are going to do, catch this, he's actually breaking down social barriers. He's saying this is for men and for women. This is for old people. This is for young people because it's for all people. And he tells of all these amazing things that the Holy Spirit is going to do. Peter gives an explanation from the Bible of what was taking place. And that's what I love to do more than anything else. Because God, one of the gifts that he has given me by the Holy Spirit is an understanding, and even more than that, a way to apply scripture to everyday things. And I actually function better in a conversation where people are asking questions than I do here in this pulpit right now. And so when people see, like, what's going on? They're speaking in tongues. They're putting their hands on each other. Some people are falling down. There might be people over here laughing. See, I can hopefully give a biblical explanation, but I want you to catch this. There is not a biblical scholar right now that if they saw what was happening on the day of Pentecost would have, by nature, used Joel as a proof text. They wouldn't have done it. But see, except that it's here in the book of Acts. But here's the reality. Here's the thing. There are times when the Holy Spirit will give application and revelation that will make this thing make sense when you compare it to this text. And that's why we have to understand the scriptures. And so Peter gives them an explanation. Some translations say, he says, this is that. Did you remember what Joel talked about? This is that. And you might be like, what? It's not adding up. Well, give it some time. Because God is doing something amazing. I'm gonna have the worship team come up. Because here's what I'd like to do. I've got one more E that I want to touch on. It's the most important E. And I want us, as a group of people who heard about the experience, see that it's demonstrated with evidence, have hopefully heard an explanation, I want to give us as a people an opportunity to experience the empowerment that comes from Holy Spirit. So after I finish this last point, what we're going to do is this. We're going to have our prayer team. They're going to make their way to the front, and we are going to provide an opportunity for people to receive prayer. This is something we regularly do. But we're also, and I want to encourage you right now, I want you to sit and think and allow Holy Spirit. Because here's another thing that doesn't work with lights and smoke machines. Slick and persuasive words. None of my slick talking is going to make this make sense to you. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only in me, but the Holy Spirit working on you right now. And so, as we look at this last text, before we give an opportunity to respond, I want you to allow Holy Spirit to just begin to stir on you and poke and prod. Because he's very gentle, but he's also forceful in a gentle way. Because there might be some of you here today and you need physical or emotional healing in your life. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels is about a woman who had a bleeding issue. She was basically menstruating for 12 straight years. And the loss of blood, the constant loss of blood, not only wrecked her physically, but it destroyed her relationships because it made her spiritually unclean. It all, because of that, it affected her ability to go to temple and worship God. And for 12 years, the Bible says she spent all of her money trying to get it fixed. But then when Jesus came around, something clicked inside of her. She went from, I'm going to spend all my money on the best doctors for over a decade, to, if I just touch the hem of his garment, the edge of his prayer shawl. Jewish rabbis would wear a tallit, a prayer shawl. It would hang off of their shoulders down around their ankles. And something clicked in her where she just said, if I do that, I'll be healed. So maybe you're here today and you need healing. And you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get it. I've tried everything else. Well, guess what? There's a Bible story about you. And I believe that if you do what this woman did, and just by faith, just there's no logical explanation, but if I just go forward and receive prayer, I'm going to get that healing. God might have a prophetic word for you through our prayer team. God might even want to touch you in a way that is similar to what we just read in Acts chapter 2, where he baptizes you in his Holy Spirit. You got all the Holy Spirit that you needed when you got saved. But this is an experience that happens. You don't get more Holy Spirit. You get a greater experience or awareness of him. And so I want the Holy Spirit right now to just begin to stir in your hearts as I read these last verses of Scripture, because it's about empowerment. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says this: Peter's words pierced their heart. Because Peter preached a long sermon. You're getting off easy today, guys. Peter went way longer than me. But his words pierced their heart. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? See, that's that the Holy Spirit working on their hearts. Peter replied, each one of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is who empowers us to turn from our sins and turn to God. Does he empower us to do all the other supernatural things? Absolutely. But none of those matter if you're not saved. Or maybe you are saved, but you need repentance in your life and you just don't know how to turn back to God. Holy Spirit's here to help you. And so I'm going to have our prayer team come forward and take their places. And I want you to just begin to prepare your heart and say, where do I need Holy Spirit's help? This isn't by any means intended to put anybody down, but I don't think anybody in this room, including myself, is doing well enough to say you don't need Holy Spirit's help. And I also want you to be ready, because it could get forehead winged creature weird in here. Or it could just be very subtle and very gentle, and you'll know God is up to something. And so right now, I'm just going to begin to pray, and then the worship team is going to begin to play. And I want you right now to just begin making your way out of your seats. If you're here and you need a touch, look, you need a touch from God. God can touch me at home. I know, but there are people that have been praying and preparing for God to do something striking and amazing in your life this morning, today. I don't know what it is, but I know that it's going to be better than what you came in here as. And I want you right now to just begin to say, okay, God, move me if you have to. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now, Lord God. Just as we sang this morning, you were a savior then, you are a savior now. You were a healer then, you are a healer now. The same things you did in and through Mary and David and Jacob and all of the patriarchs and all of the people throughout the Gospels, Lord God. We're coming to you right now as children and we're saying, God, do it again. Do it in our lives. Touch us today, Lord God. Sanctify us today. Fill us today. Heal us today, God. We are asking you for more of an experience of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, as people begin to start coming right now, just begin to start coming. Just begin to start moving to the front. God, I just ask to do what only you can do. Not a psychosomatic emotional moment, but a supernatural, powerful moment. The same way you did it back then, 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, God, we ask you to do it again now. In Jesus' name, amen.